and thank you for tuning in to Faith Worship Center's weekly sermon. We hope you are inspired and encouraged by this week's message as we all live to bring more of heaven to earth.
Are you guys ready for a good year? Because I'm ready for a good year. This is going to be an exciting year. We are really looking forward to October. We're looking forward to the Stirring Nights. Stirring Nights are just going to be an amazing, amazing equipping opportunity for you. You're going to learn. You're going to grow. You're going to develop good traits, fatherly traits, and motherly traits, and how to walk with the Lord, and how to love on Him, how to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. That's pretty good stuff, you know. So, well, I don't have to learn that. I got that promise from Jesus. Well, how many people have you raised from the dead? Oh, we'll move on from there. Okay. Anyway, there are things we have to learn. I find that what Lynn was sharing in the Beatitudes last week, I wanted to jump on this one verse in Matthew 5:4. It says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." I feel like in our lives, we can read a scripture like this, and we can see the scripture, "Blessed are they that mourn." It's "happy are they that mourn." That's almost like an oxymoron, happy and mourning, right? And yet Jesus is saying this. And as I was looking over this verse, I was like, the emphasis here should be on comforted, not mourning. And yet I think a lot of the church and a lot of our lives, the mourning part gets focused on, not the comforted part. And there's a lot to say about comfort. When all is going fine, we really don't think we need comfort. But then we seek comfort in a deep need. You know, like what many of us gone through over the last couple of years, where we've lost people that we know and people, loved ones that we have. And, you know, we seek the comfort. But what Jesus is promising is comfort. And comfort is the main attribute that he promises concerning sending the Holy Spirit. And see, the point of mourning is not mourning, it's comfort. That's the point. We might go through it, but the point, the end result, is comfort. And I find this scripture, "they shall be comforted." I looked that up in the Greek, and that the Greek is a phrase. "Shall be comforted." "They shall be comforted." It's a phrase. It doesn't just stand alone. The "they shall be" is one word. "They shall be" is one word in the Greek. And what it means is a progression towards the future. So it's not something that's instant. It's a progression towards our future. "Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted." It's a futuristic comfort. It's in the immediate sense, but it's also something that you're going to attain as you walk forward and as you continue to go forward. And this is what Jesus is talking about. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." It's that progress towards something. Not an instantaneous wham. You know, like right? If you're grieving, if you're mourning, and you have people around you that don't like to see you in a sad state, and they're like saying, "Snap out of it, man, get happy. Hey, let's go do something fun. Let's get you out of this." It's like, no, that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying you don't shift in your attitude that quick. You go through something, and you're making progress towards your future. And the progress that he's talking about is comfort. In other words, this is what he's saying. You're going to be comforted. You shall be comforted when you mourn. You're not going to stay in a mournful state, but you might be in that state. And what we've known for grieving, in our lives where we lost our daughter in 95, we know about grieving. And we know that grieving takes its own course in everybody differently. There's no one standard pattern for how to get through grief. Except with the gospel, we get through grief and we get through mourning knowing that we're going to be comforted. I don't know about you, that's good news. John 14, Jesus answered and said to them, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." How are you guys doing out there today? And the Holy Spirit, when he comes, when the Father sends him in my name, will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things. And I feel that we're in a season right now of being brought to remembrance. I don't know how much, how far the Christian church moved away from the gospel of supernatural activity. Its branches of it are what they are. But I feel like the Holy Spirit is moving today and he is reminding the church of what he said, of who he is, and our identity of who we are. So even though we can take this scripture and we can say, well, yeah, Jesus is going to remind the disciples so that they can put it down and write it in words, we can also take it to know if a thief has come in at any point in time in the history of the church to try to steal, kill, and destroy, that we get to hear the Holy Spirit and be reminded of the goodness of God in the land of the living, who gives us a good future. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to walk this life without the Holy Spirit. I got to hear him. I've got to feel him. 1978, I sat on my bunk bed in the Army, and I was at the bottom of the barrel in my life. I'd lived my life the way I wanted to, selfishly, ignorantly, denying the existence of God. And my life came to a crashing halt, and I was at the bottom, and I sat on that Army bunk, and I said, "God of my mother and my father, if you hear me and take me back, I will serve you the rest of my life." And immediately I felt the Comforter fall on me. His love and his peace overwhelmed me. I began to bawl like a baby in a 10th Special Forces unit on a bunk, bawling like a baby. Because the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, came and he met my prayer. He heard my request. And honestly, my dear mom, she had prayed for me for 7 years. She knew I was not in a good state. Mothers just know these things. Like, I would call her drunk out of my mind, thinking that she would never know I was drunk out of my mind. And my mom's on the other end, you know, and she's just saying, "Oh, Jesus, help my son. You got to get him." And when I talked to her afterwards, she told me, "Son, when you were away for all that time, I used to pray that the hound dog of heaven, the Holy Spirit, would just track you down and find you." Now, I don't think the Holy Spirit minds being called the hound dog of heaven. I think a religious mind would mind that the Holy Spirit is called the hound dog of heaven, but I don't think the Holy Spirit minds it because he does pursue us. He has a good scent. He has a good scent for humanity to find that which is lost and to save. And that's, he found me. I mean, I think I found him, but he really found me. He was like working in my life to bring me to this place. And I can remember before I got to that place on the bunk, 3 months before, I remember this to a T. I was in Norway. The teams were out in the fields and we were to give support to the units. And I was in really good health back then. I ran 10 miles a day, didn't think anything of it. We were doing 2 minute miles. And we were just in really great shape. And I remember running up one of these mountains in Norway. And I'm going up this steep mountain. They're not like the mountains here, like the White Mountains. They're more like Montana mountains, you know, like, not that these mountains aren't mountains. When I came here from the West, what they call mountains here is like, those are foothills. I don't know. Anyway, I'm running up the top of this mountain. I'm just going along. And all of a sudden, I start pretending that I'm on a National Geographic channel or something. And I'm talking to the camera as I'm running along. And I'm explaining all the views that I see. And suddenly, I hear myself. This is 3 months before I dedicate my life to the Lord. Suddenly, I hear myself say out loud, "You would have to be out of your mind to think that there was no God." And I'm like in the middle of this run, right? And I'm hearing, "You would have to be out of your mind to think there's no God that would create all of this." And wow. I was like, how do you retract your words after that, right? But the Holy Spirit was in me, stirring me. He's working at me. He's moving me. He's bringing me along to say something that my natural ears are going to hear and that are going to convict me on the spot. And I stood there convicted and I said, "Oh my gosh, that's me." And I realized my craziness. And it was then, 3 months later, that I gave my life to him. I just surrendered it completely to him. And let me tell you, I have not regretted that one single second of my life. This has been the best life that I could ever possibly imagine. Holy Spirit has been in me. He's been with us. He's been teaching us. He's been showing us. We keep going from glory to glory. We just keep our eyes focused on him and say, "Okay, Lord, hey, we've made a lot of mistakes along the way, granted, but who hasn't, right?" The goodness of God, the comforter of the Holy Spirit, who is faithful to keep his promise and never leave us. Man, I love that. I love that. I mean, it's just, I told you a couple weeks ago about my mom. My mom is never going to die. You remember that? 2 weeks ago, last time. My mom is never going to die. She didn't. She just stopped breathing in that body. She left her deteriorating mind behind. She left her shell behind. And my mom went to be on living. I tell you what, it's like, this is such a beautiful thing. When the cross says it is finished, it got finished at the cross, when Jesus finished the work at the cross, he defeated death. "Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, grave, where is your sting?" It's swallowed up through the cross and through the gospel. I mean, we can't lose. There's not a single believer on the face of this planet that can lose. because of what Jesus bought and because of what he purchased. Blessed are those who mourn, yes, for they shall be comforted. And I wonder how much of the future is involved in that they shall be comforted. Because I know someday soon I'm going to see my mom face to face in her eternal abode. Not real soon. Thank you, Sam. Yes. I told my dad, I said, Dad, I'm pushing you to 100. You have to keep going. You cannot stop. I'm pushing you to 100. Because I believe I'm going to live a long time. But someday I'm going to see my mom. I'm going to see my sister. I'm going to see my daughter. I'm going to see my mother-in-law. I'm going to see my father-in-law. In time soon, I'll be seeing my dad. Heaven is a real. It's not, I'm sorry, but heaven is not a state of mind. If it was, it would die with our minds. It is real. It is a reality. Now, some of the scriptures that, like, wow, I hung on to when I was just rededicating my life to the Lord. One of the big ones is where you're seeing these people stand before Jesus. And they're saying, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We heal the sick. We raise the dead. And he says, depart from me. I never knew you. And that used to put the holy fear of God in me. It's like, how is that possible? How can someone actually say, Lord, we did this in your name? And he says, depart from me. I never knew you. I don't understand the full mystery of that scripture. And I sure don't lay that on anybody. But what I do know is that it is something that is said, and it's something I never want to hear. Never want to hear those words. You see, what we believe is a good thing, but who we believe is way better. This is why, you know, as people, we build all these frameworks of theologies. There's so many different branches of the church and so many different theological branches of the church. And there's all these different branches of the church. All in all, it's not about any of that. It's about who is at the center of the church. Jesus Christ is the head. We're all different. Get used to it. We all think differently. We all act differently. We do different things. But he did one thing. Finished the work. And defeated death. Blessed are you who mourn, for you shall be comforted. I have this incredible peace that I walk with. Even in this year. I don't know how to explain it other than it's like this supernatural shield protecting my fearful, anxious emotions, keeping them from reigning in my life. I feel like it's the Holy Spirit comforting me. And I feel like I have invested into that for a good many years. It's not just during this time. If it was just at this time that I was seeking the comfort of the Holy Spirit, I don't think I'd have this much comfort. But I've been seeking him, pressing into him, drawing unto him for all these years. And we have too as a church. And he's faithful to be who he is. It's not us that are the faithful ones. It's he who is the faithful one. Jesus Christ, who his words are eternal. He said to his disciples, whoever believes my word believes the Father has sent me. And his word is eternal. We can say, hey, you know what? We can say things that aren't necessarily correct. I don't believe I've ever said anything that's not correct. But I realize I'm a bunch of among a bunch of people who do say things that aren't correct. But we can say things that are incorrect. That doesn't change who Jesus is. It doesn't change what he did for humanity. It doesn't change it. It just means that, hey, we got issues. Maybe we need to set up an appointment with the Sozo team because we got issues. What it means is that there is this, like, this walking forward into something that lies ahead that is promised. We shall be comforted. You ever mourned over your life? Made some mistakes? You're mournful about? Blessed are those who mourn, for you shall be comforted. Keep walking. Keep going forward in the faith. If I let my mistakes kick me down, I wouldn't be standing where I am today. I had so many blessed New England people who've tried to correct me over the years. If I let my mistakes dictate who I was, I would not be here today. But I let his promise dictate who I am. And I keep my eyes focused on him and set my eyes on things above. It doesn't make me non-accountable. It makes me accountable. But I keep going forward. Recognizing, okay, I own my mistakes, but I am going forward. I'm not letting my mistakes push me back. And that's where we live. Don't be mournful over your life. Don't be mournful over your mistakes. Don't be mournful over your loss. Blessed are those who mourn, for they should be comforted. Keep knowing that the comfort is coming. It's coming, right? I look at Joyce over here. I just grabbed her today and I said, Joyce, I love you like a sister. Absolutely amazing. We prayed over in the prayer room once again. To me, it doesn't matter how many times there's a progress of healing that we keep moving towards. It's like there's like we all want it instantly now. Yes, absolutely. But we cannot lose sight of shall be. Shall be. Acts chapter 9. The churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. You read this scripture, and many people do. We've all done it. I feel like we've somehow glorified the early church to be a church where they didn't have issues, they didn't have problems, they didn't have theological breakups or disunity or anything like that, and they were just the most amazing group of people gathered together in small groups and home having these great, powerful discussions. I don't know. They were people like us. I read accounts of the early New Testament church. You know what I see? I see a church that was pursued by the government to be martyred, to be killed, to be slaughtered as innocents. The government was chasing them down to persecute them, to kill them. The religious leaders of the day wanted them exterminated, wanted them taken out, just like they took out Jesus based upon his authority. They were trying to take out the church based upon the authority that he gave the church. And they're pursuing, they're hunting them, they're trying to find them. And these groups were in homes meeting secretly because they had no other place to meet because the synagogues had kicked them out. The government was chasing after them, looking to find out who they were. And they're like meeting together, right? And I'm thinking, what are their meetings like when they come together, right? Hoshana comes in and she says, I just said Hoshana because it sounds Israel. Hoshana comes in and she says, they got my mom and killed her right in front of my eyes. Josiah comes in. They just took my dad away yesterday. I don't know where he is. I picture this group of people who know sorrow and loss. And the Holy Spirit is reminding them, blessed are you who mourn, for you shall be comforted. And yet they're still gathering together, comforting one another in unity, building each other up in unity. Well, the last I checked, it was the bad guys throwing stones at the believers, not the good guys. Right? We're to build each other up, edify each other, encourage each other. Because the comfort of the Holy Spirit lives in us, and He wants to comfort others just as He's comforted us. And you all stand together. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. That's the picture of the Comforter working through the church, the Holy Spirit. Father, we stand here together this morning. We are your people, your house, your building, growing together. I pray for those in this room who are mourning and need comfort. I pray for those in this room who are seeking first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And I pray that you would add to them all the things that you want to add. Holy Spirit, we invite you to do your work. There's not a single one in here, as far as I know, that has not invited you to do your work in their lives. We're all standing together with a mind that says, we want Jesus. We want Jesus. We want Jesus. We want to see him high and lifted up and exalted among the nations. And we know the day is coming that that will happen, where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. But as your church, in the meantime, we're living here in the now, and we see the shall be, and we just say, yes, Lord, be glorified, be lifted up, which is why we come together every week. We know that we're not just a bunch of people inside these four walls lifting our hands and praising you, but we know that your Spirit is going out into our region and doing the work of the Holy Spirit, that you are like the hound dog seeking people that are in the down and outs to raise them up and give them a life that they never even thought possible. Lord, continue to bind us together. I pray for the church in New England that they will be bound together, that the walls of separation will no longer have a dominant voice in New England, but the walls would be broken down and expanded, and unity would come to the church of New England. I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, just as Jesus prayed to you in John chapter 17, let them be one as you and I are one. I pray for that unity in New England. Let the competition just break it. Just shake it and break it down. We've seen it for years, and we don't want it. We don't want anything to do with it. We want to be a part of what you're doing here in this region. And we say yes to you, and do it, Lord. Touch each one accordingly in this room, Lord. Teach, you know right where every single person is in this room. You know their hearts. They can go through actions. They can go through motions. You know their hearts. You know the same thing in every church across this region. You know the people's hearts. You see their hearts. You don't see their bodies. You see their hearts. You see who they are. Really who they are. You see us. And I just pray, Father, that your perfect will be done in every single life. Father, get rid of all the judgments and the attitudes, the casting of stones at other churches down the road. Just tear it all down, Lord. Just take it all down. Let it all be one picture of a beautiful people gathered together to worship and love you. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Can we just give glory to God right now? Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We bless your name. You are high and lifted up, Lord. You are the glory of the nations. You are the glory of the nations. Your love breaks through and wins. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. If you'd like more information about our church, visit faithworship.org.